The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the fundamental of fundamental truths. Upon this doctrine, all other fundamental truths rest, those truths that are absolutely essential to the saving of the soul. It is his resurrection that proves his deity. It is the resurrection that proves he was born of a virgin. It is the resurrection that proves that his life was sinless, completely conformed to God's law in every aspect. And it is the resurrection that proves that his death was an atoning death, offered to make atonement for sin and to satisfy the divine law of God. If Christ be not risen, then our faith, what we believe from Scripture, is all vain. It is all empty. It is all fraudulent. It is all meaningless. And our hope for the future is diced into a million pieces. But his resurrection is not a myth. His resurrection is true. And as such, it proves that he truly is God. It proves his deity. It proves his virgin birth. It proves his sinless life. It proves his atoning death. And it lays for us a glorious hope for the future, a hope that rises above all our troubles, that alleviates all our sorrows, and fills our hearts with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The resurrection sets before us the hope of his return, his coming again to this world in glory and in great power. And when he comes, the Bible says, we shall be changed. The dead shall be raised, and we shall be clothed with immortality and with incorruptible glory. This is the hope that arises from his resurrection. And when that day comes, it will usher in the fulfillment of a long-awaited prophecy, a prophecy that Paul refers to in the latter part of this passage that we have read. Verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then and only then, on that day, shall be brought to pass, shall be fulfilled the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. At last, at long last, death's reign over mankind shall be destroyed, and death itself shall be swallowed up in victory. What hope there is in these words. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. It is a hope that arises from the resurrection of Christ, and it is that hope that every child of God will one day enter into the enjoyment of. And these words that we have read tonight are a preview of the conversation that will be engaged in by resurrected saints. That's what Paul is referring to. He's referring to himself. Look what he says in verse 54. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and when this mortal body shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Then shall the saints of God resurrected, then shall they speak one to another. Then they shall talk and they shall declare this glorious truth. Death is swallowed up in victory. It is the language, it is the conversation of resurrected saints. On that day when Jesus comes again, this is what we are going to say on that day. Death is swallowed up in victory. The Apostle Paul here, writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, is given a preview of what resurrected saints will talk about on the day when Jesus comes again. And there are three topics, three great themes that will take up their conversation. And I want just for a few moments tonight to consider what resurrected saints will speak of on that day when Jesus comes again. The first thing they will speak of is the sting of death. The sting of death. They shall say on that day when Jesus comes, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? Where is thy sting? Ah, the sting of death. Every saint, every believer at some point in their lifetime has felt that sting. The sting of death is its power to hurt and its power to cause pain. Death is like a scorpion that comes to us not as a friend but as an enemy with the intention of inflicting great hurt, great harm, great injury, great pain. The sting of death. The sting of death. And how great that sting is. It reduces the strongest and the bravest of men to mere striplings. It drains strength and breath until at last there is no strength to resist and death prevails. And that sting not only strikes the individual saint, but those near and dear who stand by as observers, watching as life grows weaker and weaker until it reaches the point where it expires. Oh, what pain the sting of death inflicts. The Bible speaks about that generation that will be alive, that will remain to the coming of the Lord. They themselves will not experience death. They will not walk down the valley of the shadow of death. They will be alive when the Lord returns, and they shall see Him. But even during their lifetime, that privileged generation that will not taste death will have experienced its sting nevertheless. They will have watched as others have died, and that scorpion has come and stung, and they have felt its pain and its injury. The sting of death will be a topic of conversation on that great resurrection day. The sting of death. But it is a self-inflicted sting, a self-inflicted pain. Where Paul tells us here that the saints on that day recognize that the sting of death is sin. Death came as a result of man's sin. Man's sin injected the venom into the sting of death. The choice to disobey God, to transgress His command, was the reason why death came into this world. It was that choice. It was that choice that conceived the scorpion of death with its venomous sting. The day that thou eatest thereof, you will be stung by death. And ever since that fatal moment when Adam chose to disobey God in the garden, all mankind has been reeling under the sting of death. But resurrected saints on that day, they will recall the sting of death, but only to glory in its vanquishing. And they will say, O death, Where is thy sting? That sting that pained us so sharply, so deeply, so sorely. Where is that sting now? The sting of death. But not only will they speak of the sting of death, they will speak also of the strength of sin. Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. This is the topic of conversation on that resurrection day. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, then they shall say, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. They'll recognize like never before on that day that death came because of man's sin. But they also recognize that the strength of sin is the law. What is it that gives sin its power? What is it that gives sin its strength to create such a powerful beast, the scorpion of death? What is it that gives sin its strength and its power? Resurrected saints know fine well what it is. It is the law of God. We have been considering that law in recent weeks. It is that law that gives strength to sin and power to sin. For without the law, there would be no sin. It is the law of God that reveals what sin is. It identifies sin. Sin is not left to the imagination of man to devise. It's not left to man to determine what's right and what is wrong. Sin is defined, described, and revealed by God's law. It is the transgression of that law. It is the lack of conformity to God's law. And without that law, there would be no sin. So therefore, the strength of sin is the law. Without that law, there is no condemnation, no penalty, no handing over to death. Sin, the Bible says in Romans 5, sin is not imputed where there is no law. It is only where there is law that sin is revealed, and sin is imputed. The strength of sin is the law. What makes sin so devastating, so destructive, so deadly is God's law. That law that says, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That law that says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It is the law that pronounces its curse upon the transgressor. It is the law of God that pronounces its judgment and its vengeance upon the sinner. The strength of sin is the law. And let me add to that, that the law stirs up sin within the heart. You've only to read Romans chapter 7, and there you'll find that great struggle that the Apostle Paul had. He said, I was alive once without the law, but when the law came, sin revived and I died. It was the law that stirred up sin. When that law came, the sinful nature of fallen man rises up in rebellion against that law. There are some people and some preachers who think that the law produces holiness. The law never produces holiness. It is only the heart that is occupied with Christ that produces holiness. The law will always stir up the old man, the old nature. Not the law's fault, but rather it's the the manifestation of the rebellion of the heart of man. As soon as God says, thou shalt not, then man steps forward and says, I shall, I shall. It is the rebellious, wicked heart of man. And every time the law manifests itself, that nature is stirred up. John Bunyan, when he wrote that great book, The Pilgrim's Progress, he described it like this. Pilgrim came into the house of the interpreter, and he saw in that house a room that was covered in dust. And a person came in to sweep the dust with the broom. But the more he swept the dust, it just filled the air and it choked him. And he said, that's what so many are trying to do. They're trying to sweep away the dust of their sin by their own effort, by the law. But it only stirs up that sin all the more. And then he saw one who came with water, and he sprinkled the water on the dust that was on the ground, and then he swept it. And it was swept without stirring or creating that choking effect in the atmosphere. The law is the strength of sin. The law is the strength of sin. Resurrected saints on that day will converse concerning God's law. Their focus will be not only on the sting of death, but on the strength of sin. They will have an accurate knowledge and understanding of God's law, realizing that it's by this law that sin is revealed. It is by this law that the judgment upon the transgression of the law is pronounced. And they will realize that this law binds them and hands them over to death. The broken law passes the sentence of death upon the transgressor. I want you to notice this tonight, because as we have followed this course of study in God's law, we must never think that God's law will ever be abrogated or it will ever be abolished. Even on that resurrection day, they will speak about God's law. The strength of sin is the law. The law of God will never be abolished. It will still be in force even on that great day of resurrection, when the saints of God are raised from the dead and changed and they put on incorruption. Strength of sin is the law. The sting of death and the strength of sin. But not only will they speak of these matters, they will speak, or rather they will sing the song of victory. They will speak with the shout of victory. Verse number 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory. Oh, the sting of death, yes. And the strength of sin, made powerful by the law. But they will speak of victory. The victory. And literally the word victory there means the upper hand, the conquest. Do you notice that the word victory is used three times in the passage? Verse 54, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O grave, where is thy victory? Verse 57, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a threefold victory. Victory over death. Victory over sin. Victory over a broken and a condemning law. Victory over death, its power shattered, its sting disarmed and vanquished. The Bible says, look this up, turn to Revelation 21, underline these words in your Bible. These are tremendous words. These are words that should thrill our soul. Revelation 21 and verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. No more death. Dare we imagine such a situation? Let me change the order slightly. Death no more. Death no more. Ever since the fall, this earth has been scarred by the presence of death. It is the common denominator of all mankind, no matter what nationality, no matter what background, no matter what language, no matter what color of skin. Death is the common denominator of all men. But on that day, there will be victory over death. And death will be no more. No more deaths. Never again will death strike. Never again will the sting of death inflict its pain. Death no more. Victory over death. Victory over sin. Sin which is the cause of death. Sin put away. Sin blotted out from the mind of God and from God's book. Sin covered with redeeming blood. And victory over a broken and a condemning law. For that law was satisfied with the blood that was shed upon the cross. That law was vindicated. Its penalty was executed. When the Lord Jesus laid down his life to pay the ransom price. And when he laid down his life upon that cross, he obtained the victory. Victory. The upper hand. The conquest. It's all through Christ. The apostle is very clear to emphasize this. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory over death and over sin and over a condemning law. He giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He came for this great purpose. He was born in order to accomplish this task, to satisfy the law, to fulfill its demands, to make atonement for sin by his blood shedding, and thereby slay death, to take death captive, and to render him no more. No more death. What a conversation this will be on the resurrection day, when saints are raised, and their souls reunited with their bodies that have corroded and corrupted in the dust of the ground. And on that day, they will speak together, and they will say, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. But Christ has dealt with our sin. He has covered that sin with his own blood. The strength of sin is the law, but now the power of sin is broken because the law is satisfied with Christ. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What will resurrected saints talk about on the day of resurrection when the graves are opened? Their conversation will be full of gratitude. Thanks be to God. They will worship God with an unsinning heart. They will pour out their gratitude to Him for so great salvation. Their conversation will be Christ-centered. It's all through our Lord Jesus Christ. This victory is because of Him. And their conversation will be Bible-based. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. They will remember the words written in Scripture. And they will bring these words to each other's attention. And where are these words written? Well, turn to Hosea chapter 13 tonight in the Old Testament Scriptures. Hosea chapter 13. And the verse number 14. And you will find part of the statement that Paul refers to. Hosea chapter 13 and the verse number 14. The Lord is speaking here and He says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. In other words, He will not change His mind. He will not turn from this task until it is accomplished. O death, I will be thy plagues. It is the word of God Himself. The Lord has promised to slay death, to destroy the grave, to triumph over the tomb. And on that day, the resurrected saints, they will take the very words that God Himself has spoken, and they will confront death and say, O death, where now is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? But this is not the only place that we as resurrected saints will refer to. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse number 8. What a tremendous passage this is. It's the passage that Paul quotes from in 1 Corinthians 15. Isaiah 25 and verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. The Lord hath spoken it. He will swallow up death in victory. This is where Paul quotes from. And he says, on that day when Jesus comes and the saints of God are resurrected, and they are changed with incorruptible bodies, they will quote from Isaiah chapter 25 and verse number 8. Learn it now, believer. Memorize it now, because on the day of resurrection, you're going to quote these words. We're going to repeat what the Lord has said in this passage. He will swallow up death in victory. But do you notice the slight change between Isaiah 25 and 1 Corinthians 15? In Isaiah's prophecy, it is all future. He will swallow up death in victory. But on that great resurrection day, the saints of God will be allowed to change the Scripture. And we will change the tense. What does Paul say Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Not he will swallow up death in victory, but death is swallowed up in victory. The prophecy will be fulfilled. Death will be defeated. But look at Isaiah 25 and verse 9. There's something else that we're going to say on that day as we converse one with another in our resurrected and glorified bodies. And it shall be said in that day. It shall be said in that day among the resurrected saints, among believers. Lo, or behold, look at this. This is our God. This is our God. Our God has swallowed up death in victory. And you can see how we will converse one with the other. We have waited for him all our lifetime. Since the day we were converted, we have waited for him. We have waited in hope, in light of his resurrection. We have waited for that day when he will come for the fulfillment of this promise. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is what the resurrected saints will say on that day. They will say, we have waited, and now he has brought it to pass. Now it is accomplished. This is our God. This is the Lord. Death swallowed up in victory. Swallowed up in victory. Gone forever. No more death. Its sting forever removed. The victory of the grave defeated. Life, everlasting life, ushered in. What a conversation that will be for resurrected saints on that day, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on in immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Then we shall speak to death, and we shall say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The conversation of resurrected saints, but only the conversation of resurrected saints. Only those who have received Christ by faith in this lifetime, repenting of sin, calling upon his name, and seeking the cleansing of his blood. Only those will speak these words of victory and triumph. Death swallowed up in victory. This is the message of Christ's resurrection. This is the hope of his rising again from the dead. He is the firstfruits of all that sleep in Christ. Verse number 20 of 1 Corinthians 15. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that sleep. In other words, we're going to follow in. We're going to enter in to his resurrection and to his glory. Death swallowed up in victory. Let these words rejoice your heart tonight, believer. No more triumphant, no more glorious, no more victorious words. Death swallowed up in victory. And one day soon, it will come to pass. One day soon, it will come to pass. Will we miss it? Certainly not. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That great day of victory will be ushered in by the trumpet of God. And that trumpet will signal the death of death forevermore. What a hope believers have. And if you're not trusting in the Lord Jesus tonight, then I urge you to seek the Lord tonight and to take him as your Savior. And all who take him as Savior enter into this glorious hope, this glorious blessing. The victory over death and over the grave. Let's turn in closing to the hymn number 322.